It's time to unleash your inner cowboy with the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Now here's your host, Alyssa Barnes.
Hello and welcome to episode number 31 of the Earn Your Spurs podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa Barnes. I'm really excited to introduce you to my guest today. For those of you who don't know her, she is the Director of Industry Outreach at the PRCA, Ms. Cindy Schonholz. I'm pretty sure she told me that she has worked at the PRCA for something like 18 years. In her role, she wears a lot of hats, including running the Justin Cowboy Crisis Fund. And one of her most important and longest running responsibilities at the PRCA is being the head of livestock welfare. That role not only entails being involved in creating rules to protect the livestock, but it also means that she's heavily involved in legislation that is sometimes proposed to regulate how we care for our animals. Now, this is a really important topic and one that tends to be pretty polarizing. So I think it's really imperative for those of us who love the Western lifestyle, who love rodeo, who understand how much the people, the cowboys, the ranchers, the stock contractors, how much they love and care for their animals, it's important for us to be involved and to understand the types of legislation that's being proposed and some of the things that threaten our way of life. So let's go ahead and dive into my interview with Cindy Schonholz.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today, Cindy. I know we've been trying to make this happen for a while, and I'm glad we could finally get together.
It's great to be on here.
So today I'm talking with Cindy Schonholz of the PRCA, and you are the Director of Industry Outreach, Livestock Welfare, and the Justin Cowboy Crisis Fund. Is that right?
Yep. My title is Director of Industry Outreach. And with that, I handle all of our livestock welfare and government relations. And then I'm also the President CEO of the Justin Cowboy Crisis Fund.
That sounds like you stay pretty busy.
I'm not bored, that's for sure. never know what the day is going to hold. Very thankful for all the opportunities to work with our members regarding the livestock and then be able to assist injured rodeo athletes. It's kind of an interesting mix, but it somehow works.
Yeah, well, you definitely wear a lot of hats. So can you tell us kind of how you first came to work at the PRCA, what your background is? Because I don't even know.
Sure. I came to the PRCA October 1st, 1997. So working on 18 years here. And I came from California. I was on a rodeo committee in Southern California, the Poway Rodeo. And I also was the executive director of the Miss Rodeo California pageant. And I ran barrels while I was out there. And I high school rodeoed a little bit when I was living in Mississippi and was interested in all of that. I have a business degree from the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. So all of those factors rolled into one kind of brought me to this opportunity to work for the PRCA. Didn't grow up in the sport of rodeo. My sister won a pony in a coloring contest. That's how we got involved in horses. So
that's awesome.
So that allows me, I come from suburbia, USA. So that allows me to kind of understand how, you know, city folk might see the sport of rodeo and to be a little empathetic and talking to folks about the care of the livestock and people that might not have grown up on a ranch, because I did not.
Well, that seems like it would be a really big advantage for you then, because I think sometimes we have a hard time communicating back and forth just because we have such different backgrounds and points of reference.
Well, I think it's really difficult for people within the sport of rodeo to sometimes leave their emotions, and they take it very personally when people talk about the livestock and that they may not care for their animals. So sometimes it helps me to kind of step back and take the emotion out of it and get some facts into it. And then I can lead into, once they feel like I have credibility, I can lead into some of the emotional stories and bring folks in that way, that we really are people. The people in sport of rodeo do care about their livestock, but you have to be very careful not to be angry, not to act in anger, not to talk in anger, and to have empathy for the folks on the other end who may just have really bad information.
Yeah. And I think sometimes it's like we want the same things. I mean, we want to take care of our livestock. And I think we get so offended in some cases because we love our animals so much and we don't understand why other people can't see that, but you know, it's almost like we have the same goal, but we don't agree on how to get there.
Absolutely. And it's just so important for us to realize the people out there that genuinely do care about the animals and that would be interested in hearing our story. And then the ones that simply aren't interested in hearing our story, that have that goal of ending all use of animals. So that's a really distinct group of people, two of them. And we're trying to appeal to the folks that are reasonable, that really do care about animals and may just have incorrect information. There's a segment of the population now, as you know, who are pretty vigilant in the fact that they don't think we have the right to use animals at all, to interact with them at all in entertainment, sport, or recreation. So we're going to keep those groups separate, and we're going to try and appeal to our legislators, potential fans, children that are just growing up that need to hear our story and not really spend a lot of our time and resources on trying to convince folks that we take care of our animals when nothing we do is going to convince them.
Right. And that's not their primary concern anyway. They just don't want us to use animals at all, whether we take care of them or not, right?
Well, and that's kind of the definition of animal rights, is that we don't have the right to interact with animals. And if you see, you know, PETA's, what they say is we just shouldn't use them for food, for clothing, for any of that. And that's so opposite of our philosophy of animal welfare that, you know, we have the right to interact with them, but we have the responsibility to care for them if we do. So we're going to always appeal to the folks that have those animal rights sensibilities, and that once they understand, we have veterinarians on site, we have rules that the livestock that does participate in our rodeos is important to us, and we know it's our duty to take care of them.
Yeah. And how do you kind of keep that separate? Like, how do you know when somebody is maybe open to learning and when somebody is just completely against it and there's not really any point in trying to reason with them?
Well, I think you can look at, I generally, if I get a phone call, a letter or something, I'll try and find a little bit about that person before I respond. And that goes definitely with media. If I hear from a media outlet, I will do some research on that person and see what stories they've written. If I get an email from someone that, generally, you can tell the tone of someone that generally just has really good questions or just wants to criticize. And if I get an email or a phone call and they're not asking for any response and they're just telling me what they know about it, then, I know that that's not a dialogue. That is, you know, them trying to vent. And I may still try and get them some correct information, but it's pretty important to do a little research on that person. And I definitely try not to get into any online back and forth on Facebook and that type of thing with folks that I can tell have strong animal rights sensibilities, because you're really just giving them credibility. And instead, you could be trying to spend your time educating legislators, putting positive information out there, getting information into the schools. It's easy to get sucked into some of these debates online and even debates within the media. And when media calls, I will always ask them if they want a debate or some sort. We're not really interested in debating with someone that doesn't have credentials, that isn't a veterinarian, that has experience, or, you know, we want to get the truth out there. But anytime that you choose to debate with a true animal rights activist, you're giving them more fodder to raise money and giving them legitimacy, basically. Mm-hmm. So it's a fine line, but we want to get the right information out to the people that are interested. And it's always good to do a little research before you start a back and forth with anybody.
It seems like a lot of times people who have never been around livestock want to compare livestock to either companion animals like dogs and cats or people. How do you kind of separate the two?
Well, it is in this day and age, as I've said, with the urbanization of society, people do not understand the difference between companion animals and livestock, and they don't know where our food comes from. They're generations removed from the farm. So you have to explain to folks the difference between, you know, livestock animals, which are basically here for us to take care of, but they come back and supply us with food and clothing and those different types of things. And companion animals, which in this day and age, even you and I have a seat at the table for my dog, for heaven's sake, you know, so it's very hard for me to, you know, tell somebody not to treat their animals like a member of the family, but they aren't children, you know, and they can't take care of themselves. And it is our responsibility to take care of them. And we have to be careful that we don't humanize animals. And it's very hard when you see the movies and there's talking animals and the kids growing up, you know, they equate animals as people and they simply aren't. And livestock animals are very, very different. But that is a tactic of groups that want to end the use of animals, to equate calves in the rodeo to your dog and to try and get people to think that just by interacting with them in the rodeo that it's a bad thing. And it's important for people to understand, no, you don't bring a calf into the house. They are livestock. And horses are livestock, not companion animals. And that's a real tricky thing to try and talk to a lot of people about, because they consider horses their pets, many of them. Mm-hmm. But we know they're livestock, and it's important to keep them classified as livestock for many different reasons. So that is probably our biggest challenge in this day and time, working with legislators, the media, and the general public, is keeping perspective of what the difference is, what different animals, what their purpose of being on this earth is, and how it's important for us to take care of them, because they can't take care of themselves. And the animal rights philosophy is not logical, and it's not good for animals. It's not bad for an animal to have a job. They have more value when they have a job.
Yeah. And it seems like, you know, when you've been around livestock, you understand that their behavior is different than a companion animal. And oftentimes, the way that we have to care for cattle or horses, in some ways, what we're doing is keeping ourselves safe and keeping the animals safe. And sometimes, you know, we use different tools or methods that people may view as being harsh. But the reality is, those methods and tools have been developed over decades by ranchers and cowboys and people that work with these animals on a daily basis, because they understand their behavior and they can hurt you and they can hurt themselves. And so they've developed these ways to prevent that a lot of people don't understand. At least that's what it seems to me.
And that's true. I think in this day and age, it's very important for every industry to continually look at those practices. And if there are ways to improve them, within the PRCA, we understand if you continue to do things the same way in this day and age, you're not going to be successful with the climate of society. You have to continue to strive. And by changing things and by changing methods, you're not saying that the old method was bad or the old way we did things was bad. You're just trying to continue to use the information you have to improve your policies, procedures, the way you take care of the livestock, to make sure that your industry is doing what's best. And you need, if at all possible, to have science and experts. And that's why it's so important for us to have veterinarians on site at our rodeos. We know not every rodeo in the country can have a vet on site, but we lean on our veterinarians who are experts and do have the training and see all of the ways that we transport, move livestock, and all the events, and can help us if we need to change or improve.
Yeah, and there are some excellent vets that are involved in the PRCA for sure.
They're so important, and that's why we created the Zoetis PRCA Veterinarian of the Year. The veterinarians we have been at our rodeos, and most of them are volunteers. And, you know, for years we've been thinking, how do we get that story out? Because it's important to get that story out in a way that's not defensive. And by having our members nominate veterinarians and us to get the stories out about those nominated veterinarians and choose one each year to show this is a person that has volunteered their time and their expertise strictly because they want better care and they want to make sure the livestock have the proper care and handling at our events. And again, those are the steps you can take rather than choosing the debates with those who want to end our sport. Those are the positive, proactive stories, because anytime you can get your information out there without it being in response to something in a more proactive way, then that's a win for everybody.
Yeah. I used to be involved with arena rodeo, and Joe Coley, the vet there, he was always so great. And I remember he always did a great job of explaining the difference in anatomy of cattle versus dogs or humans. And I remember he once, I think it, the story was that he asked a reporter if they could lick their own butt or something like that, because a calf can. And that, you know, sometimes people don't understand that that, you know, a calf or a horse's anatomy is so different than ours. It's really hard to compare.
Right. And, you know, obviously he was chosen as one of our Zoetis Veterinarian of the Years, and wonderful man. And there are hundreds more stories out there that we just don't know about these veterinarians who have volunteered their time for over 20 years, many of them, and stand there and watch every run and work with the committees to make the facilities better and educate the public. And it's a huge part of our livestock welfare program. And the more we can recognize them and give them the tools they need to do their job, the better off the PRCA and the sport of rodeo are going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So we talked a little bit earlier about how cowboys sometimes can get a little offended when people accuse them of not taking care of their animals or loving their animals. Do you have any good stories that you can share, maybe about how different people have kind of gone above and beyond to care for their animals?
Well, I think to me, the best part of my job is when I get to go to the stock contractors' ranches. Mm-hmm. And I think probably the best thing we could maybe do was organize tours of people to come and go to ranches. I've been to the Surveys, I've been to the Corcos. And recently, one of the issues that we've been dealing with that in the PRCA is the transportation of horses in double-deck trailers. Mm. And we decided that we were going to take some veterinarians to a ranch and put them in a trailer while some rodeo horses were being loaded. So we had some representatives from the American Veterinary Medical Association and the American Association of Equine Practitioners come with us to Montana, and we went to the Sankey's place. And I'm here to tell you, when they get in that car and go to that ranch and are with the Sankey family talking about their animals, seeing the yearlings and how huge these horses are, and the way they live, and hearing the stories about, you know, the stud that's sitting out there, where he came from, you know, how it goes back to Custer and the breeding program and how they, you know, wean their animals. And it's totally different from any other, or, you know, any other horse industry that they've seen. And they were just shocked at what these animals looked like, how big the yearlings were, how healthy they were. And so those are the stories that you want to get out there, is where the livestock come from, how well they're taken care of. And those stories happen every day. We have them with contestants going above and beyond to take care of their timed event livestock. I think the hidden story, though, is, and, you know, the groups that want to shut down rodeo want to say these horses are on trailers all the time, or these bulls. And, you know, what we need to work on more is getting the story out about where they do live, what their life is like, where they come from, the breeding programs, those types of things are the parts that I wish I had more time to get that information out there.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And, you know, so many people that aren't well informed about bucking stock in general tend to think that, you know, I mean, one of the misconceptions is that they're forced to buck or whatever. And when you go out to a ranch like that and see those horses and see how well they live, and that, I mean, they're obviously, they have a breeding program. Those horses are bred to do what they do, and they love what they do. I mean, there's so many that have bucked for years and years and years because they love doing it.
And that's what we ended up showing them. And Ike and Wade and Ryan Sankey were there, and they loaded some horses, and they actually loaded Snidely and William, who had not been in a trailer in 8 years. Mm. And I think Snidely was over 30 years old, and William, they weren't sure how old he is. He's about 28 or something. And they got right in. But what do you think the biggest problem was?
They didn't want to get out.
They didn't want to get out. They wanted to, he had to get a stick and get them out of there, because they wanted to go to a rodeo.
Yeah. I mean, that's amazing to show that those horses are running in the trailer because they get to go do their job, which they love.
And they're accustomed to the way of transportation. They're accustomed to these trailers. They've always ridden in them. And clearly, if you see William and Snidely in their late 20s, early 30s, who have ridden in that form of transportation their whole life and are clearly in better health than most, 20 or 30 year old animals, it was, we didn't have to say anything. We just brought those veterinarians there and showed them here is our sport. Here's how we transport our animals. Mm-hmm. And Jim Corco famously says, if he leaves a trailer with an open door in his pasture, he'll come back and it'll be full of horses because they want to go to a rodeo. And I used to have a barrel horse the same way. I couldn't leave the door open. He'd get in.
Yeah. Well, just like people, I mean, not to compare animals to people, because I'm not trying to do that, but we all want to have a job. We all want to have a purpose. And animals can be that way, too, especially when they're so good at their job and they know that they're good at their job.
Well, and that is how we try and explain to people that really aren't familiar with rodeo, is that you can't make any animal do what they don't want to do. And by causing pain to that animal, that's not going to make them do that. It's going to make them not want to do that. Mm-hmm. So it's important. You can't make a racehorse run if it doesn't want to run. You can't make a horse buck with a flank strap or spurs or anything. It has to be for them to excel at what they do, to be a positive experience for them. And they need to be conditioned with chutes and with a flank strap. They need to know when it's time to go to work, and they need to know when they're done, and they need to know what their job is. And our stock contractors do a great job of that. And, I think we're making great strides in getting that message out, but it's never done, and right. This next generation is really being bombarded. And when you look at the climate in this country of that's forced Ringling to take their elephants off the road, that SeaWorld had a $25 million loss in the last quarter, without our grassroots and without all of our fans out there talking to people, not only about how we take care of the livestock, but also about how important it is to give to groups that actually help animals and not be convinced to send $19 a month into a group that does a commercial on television that makes you think they're taking care of livestock or animals. You need to make sure that you know where your money's going, or you may be contributing to a group that wants to end your way of life.
Right. And I think that happens a lot. We get duped and we don't understand that we think we're doing a good thing, but really we don't really understand where that money's going. So on that topic, what's a good way to sort of vet the organizations that you choose to donate to?
Well, I think, obviously with the internet, it's easy to find where their money's going and what they're doing. And it's easy for us to understand what goes on easier locally. So if you find a local horse rescue, or you go to your local animal shelter and ask them questions. And, if I was going to donate to a local animal shelter, I would also maybe put in their name and include rodeo with it and see if anything comes up, if that group may have also advocated. What I would like to see in an animal care group is that they truly spend their time taking care of animals, mm-hmm. and aren't getting involved in the legislative process unless it's directly affecting, stray animals, that they're not advocating for mandatory spay and neuter or, other types of things that are kind of extreme. There's a lot of good horse rescue groups, and there's some good national groups that, we're involved with the Unwanted Horse Coalition, and they are doing the work to educate horse owners, to make sure they're responsible horse owners, to do gelded clinics, to try and encourage people that have stallions that don't need to be breeding to do that. Mm-hmm. So some of those groups are doing good work to try and further the horse industry, but also make people understand what it means to be a responsible horse owner.
Yeah. And that's important because, when you see celebrities out there advocating for different organizations, and I mean, to some people that has a big impact on them. So it's really important that we do our homework and make sure that we are actually donating our money to the organizations that we believe in, that are standing up for the things that are important to us.
I agree with that. And I also agree that, before you're going to buy a concert ticket or go to a movie, why don't you Google that celebrity, that star, and see if they are aligned with any of those groups, and simply just choose not to buy a ticket. Choose to go and support actors and singers and those folks that agree with our way of life. And until we do that, you know, until Carrie Underwood doesn't sell any records, then we haven't done our job.
She's exactly who I was thinking of, too. And I have to tell you, when I found out that she was involved with HSUS, it felt kind of like a slap in the face, because here's somebody who makes their living selling country music, and she's going against one of the biggest, you know, rodeo, which is something that's really important to a lot of people who listen to country music.
And not just rodeo, but supporting people being vegetarians. So she's against the cattle industry, you know, the livestock industry and rodeo. And I mean, she should not be successful in country music. She simply shouldn't.
Yeah.
There are plenty of other, you know, go to a Miranda Lambert concert.
Absolutely.
Download her music.
Yeah. She's a horse girl. So what advice would you give to somebody who maybe is faced with something online where they feel like they want to respond to somebody who's speaking out against rodeo? I mean, what are your tips for dealing with that without becoming emotionally involved, without attacking, without making us look bad?
Well, I think that first of all, you want to make sure that if you're online and you have Facebook and Instagram and those types of things, share the positive stories rather than engaging in debate. Make sure, you know, you could share to your friends, I saw some false information today about the care of animals. Here's the real information, and put a link to our website, put a link to their stock contractor's website, encourage people to buy a ticket to a rodeo to go see what it's like. And if it's something that they think is very serious, obviously to pass it on to me. We know a lot of stuff that's going on out there, but there are a lot of times, you know, we don't see everything. The most important things we can do are be positive and proactive and keep a close eye on legislation and regulation. And what I really need people to do is be more active in the political process. I would rather have them spend time going to a town hall meeting of their congressperson, doing their education before they vote, supporting candidates that support us, and maybe it's making a donation to their campaign, maybe it's volunteering for their campaign. Those are much more important things to do rather than sitting at a computer and making some remarks that may disparage, you know, may make us look like a bunch of rednecks, which is exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to elicit emotion within us that makes us say and do things that portray the whole sport in a negative light. So rather than engaging in any type of debate on that, let's put positive pictures. If you get a good picture of, you know, some of the healthy livestock at your rodeo, when they let the animals out after the saddle bronc riding, take a picture and put that on your Facebook page and say, wow, I love these horses. I mean, that's, you know, and there may be some people that you're connected with on there that had never seen that and take those opportunities. But I think the biggest thing right now is our folks have to become more politically involved, because that is where we can win or lose the battle right there. And it goes from your city council to your county commissioners, to your state legislators, to your federal legislators. And if all of our rodeo folks, and we are doing pretty well in that avenue, we have really great folks all over the country, but one or two letters from people that like rodeo and positive letters to these legislators, if you see them doing something that you like, let them know and attend the events and find out what they support and what they do and ask those questions. To me, that's a lot more important than trying to get into any debate online.
So I have a couple questions for you on that. First of all, what issues, I mean, you mentioned the double-decker trailers. What other issues are sort of in your face right now that you're dealing with?
Well, obviously, the processing of horses for human consumption has been an issue that we're all dealing with and we will continue to deal with. And why that is such an important issue, it crosses all the lines of everything we've just talked about. Number one is I want people to understand that the laws to ban and how this administration has chosen to ban it through budgets and appropriations, it's not about eating horses.
Right.
It's about advancing a vegan agenda. And they know that if they can make it illegal in this country to process horses for human consumption, whether those horses are, you know, consumed here or in other countries, then they're going to move on. You know, I think a pig is just as cute as a horse. So let's outlaw pork. Let's move on. So that battle is one of the most important battles that we've ever fought in this country for livestock. And we continue to work with the American Association of Equine Practitioners, American Veterinary Medical Association, the AQHA, all of those groups. And the biggest problem we have with that issue is issue fatigue, because we've been dealing with it. I've been dealing with it since I started at the PRCA.
Wow.
And it's important for people to understand that battle is a bellwether battle for the whole livestock industry. And the little issues that come up around the states, and thankfully, because we have such good grassroots and we have great people, and more they get more politically involved, we don't have a lot of state issues. But it's important for people to simply communicate with their state legislators on the importance of rodeo. And that can be inviting them to a rodeo. In California, there's a bill to allow school districts to give high school rodeo athletes the option of opting out of PE because they're competing in high school rodeo, which, as we all know, is a physical activity also. Mm-hmm. And that is a positive bill that we can get behind. And when we can find positive ways to advance our sport, and Senator Gene Fuller from California is a perfect example of legislators that we need to get behind, who, you know, has relatives that were involved in rodeo and wants to advance our sport. And those are the people we should find out when they do positive things like that and support their efforts, because they don't just want to hear about us when there's a ban on rodeo or a ban on double deck trailers. They want to hear when they attend a rodeo, thanks for coming to our event, or when they do something to advance, because we're so intertwined with the livestock and horse industry that, mm-hmm. that we kind of need to be up to date on their issues. Right. So, you know, those are the two issues that we're dealing with. And it pops up across the country. There, it could be a horse tripping legislation that comes up that has wording in it that we don't like. What we've seen happen is it will, and we know these are groups that want to take this a bit farther, it will make it illegal to rope the legs of a horse.
So I actually have a question for you on that, Cindy. Mm-hmm. When a lot of people see a bill like that, or, you know, they see just a headline, their automatic reaction might be, well, I don't like horse tripping either. I think, you know, what's the big deal if they ban it? I mean, what kind of trouble does that sort of thinking get us into?
Well, and I want everybody to know what our philosophy is regarding legislation. And we don't take positions on legislation unless it's going to directly affect our events or our members. So we have had communication with the Federation of Charros, and there are a lot of other groups that want to draw us into battles. And people, and there is false information that the PRCA has come out and banned horse tripping and all of that. There is no need for the PRCA to ban horse tripping or get involved in that legislation. It's not something we've ever done. It's not something that is planned to be done in our events. What we do is look at all of these pieces of legislation and look and see if there is language in there that could possibly harm our events or our members. Mm-hmm. And in some of these bills, like I said, it's not just banning the tripping of horses. It's making it illegal to rope the legs of a horse. Mm-hmm. And that's taking it way too far. And again, on the slippery slope issue, we know where that's going to lead.
Right.
If you can't rope the legs of a horse, then why should you be able to rope the legs of a steer or something like that? And what if our pickup men accidentally, when they're trying to rope a horse to get it out of the arena, get that around their legs?
Right.
And there'll be exceptions for veterinary use and all of that. And we don't like exceptions, because those can always be taken out. Mm. So always look at the language of the legislation. We don't take positions, you know, based on something that might be introduced. We want to see the actual wording, and you don't just look at the title. You right. have to look at the whole bill. And if someone has any questions about something, they can always contact me and say, hey, there's debate about this legislation. Right now in Oregon, there's legislation that severely regulates giving away animals.
Hmm.
And there's a lot of regulation. So if you had a calf scramble, like a lot of these big rodeos do, and give away a calf for those kids to raise, you would have to have signed agreements on how they're going to take care of the animals. And I mean, any number of regulations. And what we know is that that's how the groups will start, is with regulation and things that look fairly innocuous at the beginning. And then they'll come back and say, well, this isn't being enforced. We need to ban that activity. So getting back to what I said about my sister winning a pony in a coloring contest, we lived in California and that would not be legal. So there's not going to be any little girls in California that get involved in the sport of rodeo or riding a horse by winning a pony anymore, because many states have outlawed that.
Wow. And their reasoning is they're concerned that somebody's going to win the animal that can't take care of it, or.
Yep.
Okay.
And so, but it's important to understand with all of these laws, like horse tripping laws, if the activities that are being done are truly mistreatment or cruelty to animals, there are laws on the books in every state. And if you have a problem and if you think something is intentionally injuring animals, that can be prosecuted under existing cruelty laws. Mm-hmm. And we have some folks here in Colorado within our State Department of Agriculture and stuff that say those laws actually reduce the effectiveness of cruelty laws, because by naming a lot of specific things, then it's harder for them to come back and say an activity is cruel if it's not named. Mm. So it's harder for the experts and prosecutors to actually convict some cruelty if it's not named in there, because we've started picking and choosing and having legislators who may not have as much expertise as the Bureau of Animal Protection here in Colorado, or veterinarians, or, you know, prosecutors who would actually find veterinarians and experts to help them. So it's a pretty complicated process, and one that we've learned a lot through the years on where the PRCA is going to be involved in some of these things. But, you know, we try and get that type of information out to our membership through email blasts and, you know, social media and that type, to understand where we're, and anybody can contact me if they have questions about legislation. And we don't tell people what position to take, but we try and explain to them the bigger picture and why the PRCA might be taking a certain position or not taking a position.
Right. Yeah. And it seems that current, you know, the current laws that are already on the books are actually having an impact, because in recent years, there's been, it seems, a lot of animal cruelty cases that have been prosecuted, and mostly because of neglect or starvation or whatever. But it seems like, and maybe it's always been this way and I just didn't notice before, but it seems right. Like I've been hearing a lot about that lately.
Yeah. It seems like we either hear about over prosecuting or under prosecuting. Mm-hmm. And that comes back to the horse industry, the rodeo industry, the livestock industry, working to educate law enforcement. And, you know, again, I come back to Colorado. It's what I'm familiar with. But we have a wonderful Bureau of Animal Protection and Department of Agriculture. And they've allowed me to go and educate our lawmakers, sheriffs, animal control folks about rodeo. And we've had 3 full-day sessions to teach them, here's what we do and why we do it.
Wow.
And without the horse industry stepping in and doing that, the livestock industry and different sports, educating animal control, sheriff's departments, and that type of thing. And I know the Colorado Horse Council and horse councils across the country try and get that information to law enforcement and animal control in their state and try and help them with, you know, here's where you really should think there's cruelty and neglect, and then the veterinarian right. associations. But it is up to us to, you know, help educate folks, especially those out on the ground. They have a tough job, and they don't want to get into a position of seizing some horses or doing some, you know, cruelty charges that aren't going to go through and wasting everybody's time and money. So, It really does kind of come back on all the industries to give them the tools they need to prosecute the folks that really are not providing the proper care to the animals.
Yeah, and that is really important, because so many of our law enforcement officers probably don't have any knowledge of livestock. So it's pretty tough for some of them to determine what is cruelty, what is neglect, what is not, without that training. So yeah, I would think that would be really, really important.
Yep, it is, especially in the horse industry. It's really hard for lawmakers. And one of the things is when they seize those animals, how expensive it is to take care of them. And, you know, sheriffs don't want to end up with 60 horses when they don't have the budget to take care of them. Here in Colorado, we have an actual place that's funded that they can take them. So that takes that portion out of it for our law enforcement, because they know they have a place to take them. But it does weigh on a lot of law enforcement because their county might have to come up with a lot of money to house those horses until they can go through the court process, which is a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually was involved in one of those cases a few years ago in Billings, a really big one. And
yep.
It was a huge debacle because it was, mm-hmm. We had to figure out how to feed these horses, how to get the hay. Luckily we had a lot of donations of hay, but holy cow, it was quite the undertaking.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're well aware of that one.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. So Cindy, if people want to reach out to you, find more information, get involved, what can they do?
They can always go to prorodeo.com, and we have a whole section of livestock on there. And they can see there's resources. We have videos, we have publications. And then if they're on a committee, if they're rodeo queen, anybody that wants more information can contact me. And I have an easy email. You don't have to spell my name, and it's animalwelfare@prorodeo.com.
Awesome.
One of the things that I've done recently is I have a website called rodeolivestock.com too. And that kind of takes out the PRCA portion of it. And I have other associations involved, and it's strictly about the animals. So rodeolivestock.com is one they can share with friends that might want to learn more about stock contractors. There's a lot of good videos, photos, links to articles and that type of thing.
Perfect. Yeah. I think that's awesome because when you're not involved in rodeo, you don't understand just how much stock contractors love their animals, for one, and how much the cowboys respect those animals. Those great bucking horses. It's unbelievable how much respect that the cowboys have for them. I mean, it's amazing.
Well, number one, we are lucky to be involved in a sport where the public does see what's going on. And I know we've seen a lot of things that happen with undercover videos and stuff like that, but it's easier for people to come to a rodeo to say, that's not what I saw. And they see the healthy livestock up close. So we do have an advantage in that area. But again, like we were talking about, they don't see the animals at the ranch, and they don't see how the cowboys do respect that. And I'll never forget talking to one of the great bareback riders of all time, Deb Greeno, at one time, and he said, my favorite part of the NFR is when they bring the bucking stock of the year out or they retire an animal. He goes, a tear comes to my eye every time. So to me, that tells you, exactly how much they care about. And they know, they are their livelihood, and they appreciate them as athletes and want to see the best care for them also.
Yeah, and that's so true. I mean, when Cotton would run the bucking horses out at the Reno Rodeo, it would always like give me a chill. And the year that he retired Floodwaters was just so cool. I mean, everyone should be able to see that.
Yeah. And I've seen Airwolf retired and any number, and it gets to you every time because mm-hmm. you see what response they get from the crowd, and there's, it's just them and their fans. Mm-hmm. And it is harder for us to promote those athletes, but it's important that we continue to do so. And I think especially our fans are getting a lot more educated on how important the livestock is, and they're getting more valuable all the time, and they get to be more stars. And when they have their own Facebook pages and that type of thing, we definitely are able to get their stories across more.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool to see that for sure. So thank you so much for being here today. It's been great. I think this information is going to be helpful to a lot of people. And I just have one final question for you before we wrap up. I always ask the same question at the end of the show. And that is, what do you think is the most important quality for any good cowboy to have?
Well, I think when you look at the word cowboy, it includes cow. And the most important quality, and this might be a little bit different than what other people might say, is empathy for the livestock and understanding other people and how they might feel about livestock, mm-hmm. and taking that empathy from the rodeo arena to our fans and sharing that. And I was just at the American Quarter Horse Convention, and Johnny Trotter is the outgoing president. And one of the things that he said stuck to me is, you're not really a cowboy until someone calls you a cowboy.
Mm,
It's not a title you can give yourself. You have to have earned that title and that respect. And some people in this country might think that's derogatory. And we know being called a cowboy is the highest honor.
Yeah, it means something for sure. Well, thank you so much. This has been great. I'm so glad we could do this.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. And we sure appreciate everybody's support of the PRCA and our livestock programs. We're going to continue to thrive as an industry, and we're going to all do it together. And we need everybody out there, you know, helping in our grassroots efforts. And we know that we can continue to grow our sport.
Yep. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Cindy Schoenholtz. Really important stuff. And as always, the links for everything we talked about will be available in the show notes for this episode at earnyourspurs.com/episode31. If you have questions about anything we talked about, you're, of course, always welcome to reach out to me and send me an email or send me a message through Facebook or Twitter. Same goes for Cindy. Always feel welcome to send her an email as well, and she is happy to answer any questions that you may have. If you haven't had a chance to do so yet and you would like to support this podcast by leaving us a rating and a review in iTunes, we would certainly appreciate it. It's really easy once you find us in iTunes. Just click on the ratings and review tab and you can leave us a star rating along with a comment. Thank you so much for being here, listening in on this episode. I have so enjoyed reading through the surveys from those of you who filled them out, and especially those who included a little bit of personal information about yourself. It has been so great feeling like I'm getting to know you all better. I can't tell you how much your support means to me, and knowing that you're enjoying the podcast and the blog, it's everything. So thank you so much for your support, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Until next time, happy trails and spur on.